Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
$10 million in NIL and you're not going to blow it. Or not blow it, but not do anything with it. That's the. It's not like he's blowing it. It's like,
yeah, I just meant smart with the money.
I would say honestly, Memphis basketball NIL is probably worse managed because they gave whatever they gave to Aaron Bradshaw.
Well, he just performed for you in the second.
He
half
did. He really Illinois. Did. But
unlike any performance we've seen.
But really, yet, when you say maximize resources, what that really just means is like win games that you're supposed to win. You know, like that's just the end of the day, and that's what Ryan Satterfield just couldn't do. He lost as a favorite to Navy. He lost as a favorite to against Tulane. He lost as a favorite, obviously, to a 24-point favorite to UAB. He lost as a favorite last year to UTSA. He lost as a favorite last year to Navy. That was the problem. Like, actually, Satterfield was really good as an underdog. Like, he went down to New Orleans and beat Tulane as a 14-point dog late in the year last year. His problem was that his teams could never handle success. That was the issue. Like, when they got a little raindrop on their tongue of success, they just combusted. They just couldn't handle it.
Yes,
under Ryan Satterfield.
Handle being the front runner.
That's fair.
And the good news for him at Arkansas is that they won't have to worry about that.
They're never at the front.
They're never going to be successful at Arkansas in the SEC. Like, it's very, very difficult to do that. So I think that's going to be the interesting thing for Satterfield is, like, he's going to be an underdog in almost every game he plays there. So will he perform in the same way? Because if he does, that'll actually be good for Arkansas. He's pretty much always good as an underdog. But just when he got a taste, you know, he just couldn't get it done.
So you got to play 9 SEC games now?
It is 9.
9. Yeah, it's a juggernaut. It's tough.
He's getting paid to do it.
That's
going to get ugly.
Yeah, 35. That's a $35 million game against Arkansas.
$35 million.
Bracey, you better break him off.
Yeah.
He deserves something. There's no doubt. All right, we'll come back. Got Respect Burgers, and then Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 125. We'll talk, obviously, about Ryan Satterfield, the coaching search, where he would go, and more. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Usually around this time every Monday, I pull out the big green egg. It's a little cold outside, but we're still going to do it. We're bundled up. We pat out some burgers like we used to do back at the Memphis Country Club. We throw them on the grill, and we start seasoning. We season these burgers with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do Respect Burgers. It's going to take a mountain-sized Respect Burger to feed him because he's a big man. Zach Edey. The new defensive anchor of the Memphis Grizzlies. Don't tell me that Jaren Jackson Jr. is the defensive anchor. Don't say that anymore. Update your priors, as my partner would say. Zach Edey, career high 32 points, 17 rebounds, as the Grizzlies beat the Sacramento Kings 115-107. Third straight win, by the way. Somebody mentioned that last week as an opportunity against these scrub teams to win 3 in a row, get to 9-12. Here we are. And a lot of it's because of Edey. 51 rebounds in the last 3 games. That was his third double-double of the season in Sacramento. He did it in 29 minutes with 16 of 20 from the floor. 6 points in the final 3.5 minutes. Jaren, solid down the stretch. And Jaren, for the most part, has been good on this road trip. So I'm gonna lighten up a little bit on him. But back to the point, Zach Edey's been the difference. And I've got the numbers to prove it. 10 blocks as well in the last 3 games. Had 5 last night, 3 and 2 in the previous 2 games. Here's the deal. In the 8 games, listen to me very closely, since Zach Edey has been back, Memphis is 5th in defensive rating. Okay, in the 13 games before Edey's return, Memphis was 23rd. Some of that is going to obviously be influenced by who you played. and Memphis is playing some bums, clearly. But you played some bums before Zach Edey got here.
Yep.
And you were 23rd. Those 13 games, all of them played by Jaren Jackson Jr. Again, this is not to take a shot at Jaren Jackson as much as it is to lift up Zach Edey now as the defensive leader, truly, of this team. With Zach Edey back, Memphis isn't just fifth in defensive rating. They're first in defensive rebounding percentage, first in overall rebounding percentage in the league since he's been back, and fourth in offensive rebounding percentage. Oh, by the way, he's improved the offense too. 15th in offensive rating for the Grizzlies since he's been back. That's compared to a 26th offensive rating before him. We said this guy couldn't come back and fix everything, but he is doing a damn good job of trying to fix everything, and things have gotten better with him in the lineup. Again, a lot of this, you know, defensively, yeah, you're better when Vince Williams is out there playing point guard as opposed to Ja Morant. So there are other factors. Don't get it twisted and think that I'm not thinking about those. But Zach Edey clearly has been a difference maker. And, man, just how, I mean, that, you know, he had to get their ankle restabilized with that surgery, but he looks faster. He looks more agile. He looks quicker getting to rebounds. And I just hope it holds up forever for the Memphis Grizzlies. But Zach Edey, defensive anchor of the Grizzlies, it's been better since he's gotten back. The wins have come, 5-1 over the last six. Hopefully you'll get another one over the Spurs. Moving on. We have to acknowledge what Tennessee Collegiate Academy did over the weekend. You guys probably have heard of Prolific Prep. They've been on the scene for a long time and are one of the elite high school boys basketball teams in America, usually right up there at the top. Over the weekend, TCA, first time competing, we've chronicled sort of their startup out there at Tipton Rosemark, who they've partnered with on the academic side. Basically, powerhouse prep school out there at Tipton Rosemark and TCA. And we'd said in this first year on the Nike Elite Youth Basketball Scholastic Circuit that they could make some noise. Well, they did over the weekend, over the Thanksgiving weekend. They beat Prolific Prep in Dallas 65-64, really turned some heads on this grassroots circuit, and so much so they have now been moved up to number 16 in USA Today's top 25 national boys high school rankings. And so I think you better, if you hadn't already, you better take stock of what's happening out there north of Memphis, out there at Tipton Rosemark with this team. They are here and probably here to stay so long as they keep making noise like this on this circuit. So huge win for them over Prolific. Remember, they've got a Mason Williams is the son of Mo Williams, former NBA player. He's one of the team's better players. Keeper Jackson, we've talked about that roster, but they're already doing big things on this circuit, so make sure that you are aware. Finally, I've sort of held off from this. John's been asking, when you going to do it? When you going to do it? Y'all ain't beat nobody. I know you're going to give him one. I hope I don't jinx what's ahead for us in doing it.
You're going to.
But did you see him? Did you see him take his shirt off in the locker room after the game?
Good, better, best.
And it wasn't just for a photo opportunity, guys. I want you to know that the, I think it's Wiener's Hot Dogs in Chicago, had offered free hot dogs to the people, a lot of poor people in Chicago, if Ben Johnson took off his shirt and one of his good, better, best post-game celebration victory speeches. Well, first off, we didn't think there was going to be a victory speech after Philly, did we? Because we said the Bears were about to run into it.
Facts.
The tough part of their schedule.
Seven-point dogs
at Philly, at Green Bay, next 2 weeks. Now you're going to Green Bay. And the Bears went there and steamrolled them. Ran for almost 300 yards on Philadelphia. I can't believe I'm saying it. Manangai. Swift. Say it. Does this not look just like a version of Gibbs and Montgomery from previous years?
It does.
The Detroit Lions, well, that's where Ben Johnson comes from. I did not expect him. I knew he's a great play caller. I knew he's a genius in terms of the route trees he writes up. Didn't expect him to come in and change us foundationally this quickly and turn us into this physical ball club. Yeah, two rushers over 100 yards in that game. First time since 85. 1980 win? 85? Those were my best
Super
Bears
Shuffle
memories. That's right. Week 12, they cut that, Brad. Super Bowl Shuffle. In the season, they cut that because they knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we ain't going that far.
No.
This is Ben Johnson's first season. You know what we were doing last Black Friday? We were firing Eberflus. This Black Friday, we got the Philly fans booing their own team, the defending champs, out of the stadium. That's how frustrated they were. Hot coals on the head. I've tried to temper my enthusiasm, but I'm not doing it any longer. Because you know what? Those of you that think you have us pegged, be careful.
Be careful.
Be careful. 6.5-point underdogs going to Lambeau, the frozen tundra. I used to be scared. I ain't scared no more because we got Ben Johnson.
Don't be scared.
Wow. Good. Congrats.
Number one seed in the NFC, yeah, thanks to Carolina's real. Win over the win I did not anticipate either, over the Rams. Number one seed in the NFC by tiebreaker.
No, you absolutely 6-2 in the NFC. Just jinxed them this weekend. There's no doubt about it.
You know what?
At some point you're going to lose a game, right? That's how it happens.
Respect has been earned, and it needs to be given.
That's right.
I can't keep putting it off because I'm scared. Not scared any longer after what I saw on Black Friday.
I'm going to tell you, you're not going to go to the Super Bowl this year, okay?
Big Black Friday.
You're not going to go to the Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. But.
You're right.
But there will be a Super Bowl played in Chicago on January the 4th. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
When Dan Campbell and the hurting, limping Detroit Lions come to, where do you guys play again? Soldier Field?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it's called, John. Historic.
That's the Super Bowl. That's Ben Johnson's get back right there.
Well, we owe them. Remember,
because they put up 52 on y'all.
It killed my dad.
In September.
Like, no lie. Like, it literally was the last game he saw. Said a disgraceful performance, and then he died. It did. And we were 0-2. And by God, from the heavens, Les Smith has been touching this team ever since.
Yes, he has.
Because now he has more power.
That's right. He has more power.
9-1.
No longer of this earth, right? He has.
How can you explain it otherwise?
He has.
Tell me there ain't an angel up there
poetic.
Looking out for the Bears.
He has celestial powers.
Yes.
Bro, I think he got into Bryce Young yesterday. Trying to get us the one seed.
Jalen Hurts is out here fumbling, turning the ball over. I mean,
he had only thrown one pick all season.
Has he ever fumbled on a tush push?
Only the second time. Second time his career since they've gone to tush push has he done. I think it was the Commanders that got him. Now, I didn't go back and look at what it looked like to see if it was like ours. We came in the side door and pulled it out.
Yeah,
it was tremendous.
Yeah. It was great.
It's tremendous.
It was great.
But he also only had one pick this season, threw a second pick to Byard, who leads the league. It's some magical stuff going
on. Magical indeed.
And I have had a ton of fun with my son telling him, man, old Les Smith up there smiling down on us.
That's awesome.
100%.
That's
so exactly. If nothing, I'm telling you right now, we could lose Green Bay, get blown out. It has been so much fun just seeing not just competence, because remember, that's all I was looking for after that coaching staff last year. But to see a culture being built, to see, you know, this leader of men, that's what I did not know about Ben Johnson.
Leader of men.
That he has taken what feels like the best parts of Dan Campbell, added it to his own genius and acumen in terms of the offense. Bro, we got a winner. We got a winner. Yep. And John's right. It might not equate to anything in terms of playoff relevance this year. Looks like we'll be getting in. I mean, I'd be disappointed if you didn't. But the future looks bright.
Yes.
Because of the coach you went out and got.
All right. Speaking of going out and getting coaches, Bruce Feldman up at The Athletic has a list of candidates for Memphis football. Are you interested?
Very. I want to see how many of the names he's got that we had.
See how many overlap?
Yeah. Mm.
Tyson Helton of Western Kentucky. That's a new one. We have not talked about him.
Yeah.
He writes that he is expected to get consideration at Tulane, but figures to be a strong candidate here too. 48 years old. He has roots in Memphis, having spent 3 seasons on the Tiger staff under Coach Tommy West 2 decades ago.
Mm.
Since then, he's climbed the coaching ranks and proven a consistent winner in CUSA, going 56-36. 5 consecutive seasons of winning at least 8 games. Hilltoppers are 8-4 this year, and they lost only by 3 at LSU earlier this month.
Clay is his older brother.
Yes.
Got it.
I'm open to that, but I'm not over the moon, is what I would say. All right, moving along. Charles Huff. We talked about Charles Huff.
Yes, we have.
I said that would be my first choice. 42 years old, Alabama Penn State assistant, 7-5 at Southern Miss at a place that had won a total of 4 games over the last 2 years before he got there. He did a very good job at Marshall, beat Notre Dame, had a 10-3 season and won the Sun Belt Championship there before he got to Southern Miss. And obviously, you know, we talked about the roots that he's got, you know, in Tennessee. He's been at Tennessee State, and he was on the staff at Vandy. Jerry Mack, again, Memphis native.
Yes.
He actually was on staff here in 2011 as a receivers coach. He's kind of worked his way up. North Carolina Central Niffs, yes. He was the Rice OC for a few years. Now he's at Kennesaw State. They were 2-10 before he got there, and now they're 9-3, and they're playing this USA championship.
Looks like a maximizer of resources to me.
So there you go. Those are the head coaches that he mentions.
Okay.
Jerry Mack, Charles Huff, Tyson Helton.
Helton.
Did not mention Dan Mullen. Just notable. Then we go to the assistants. The The first one he mentions is Dennis Simmons. He's a Memphis native. He's at USC right now under Lincoln Riley. Trojans assistant head coach, wide receivers coach. He was Mike Leach's right-hand man in Lubbock and has been Riley since they both left Texas Tech and went to East Carolina, so a while here. Over the past two decades, Simmons has recruited and developed some of the best wideouts in college football. He coached Biletnikoff winners Michael Crabtree and CeeDee Lamb. Mekhi Lemon now there at USC. He mentions USC running backs coach Anthony Jones Jr., who's been here. And then he does mention Will Stein, but he says Will Stein is in play for the Kentucky coaching search.
As we thought, as you had laid out.
So the only new name here is, I guess there's two technically, Tyson Helton and Dennis Simmons.
Simmons has not been an OC? I heard co-head coach, or I heard assistant head coach and receivers coach. Is he OC or no?
He is the offensive passing game coordinator.
The passing game coordinator. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
I don't think he's been an OC, though.
Okay.
And he is a little older, which I don't know. You know, that may not matter to you, but.
No. Age doesn't matter. In terms of names we had not, you know, said, he's very interesting in terms of that resume.
Yeah. He's obviously working with Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln,
you know,
right.
you know kind of what you're getting there, in terms of offense. Just a new name, interesting. Again,
but hadn't been a play caller necessarily or an OC,
right?
So yeah, okay, just interesting.
Graduated from BYU, played at BYU.
From Memphis.
Yeah,
Kirby. I feel like I should know. That's the other part. I feel like I should know who that is.
Kirby High School, dog.
Be more familiar with his game.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's BYU from Kirby?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a ton of experience, so that makes sense.
Interesting stuff.
But obviously, another Memphis. So many Memphis natives out there. You know, you kind of forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know about him. Knew about some of the other ones.
Yeah. Anyway, good stuff there from Bruce Feldman. We're going to come back, talk to Jeff Calkins, and we'll get his thoughts on the Memphis search, the Silverfield news, and more on the other side. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Who they won't? Jeff Calkins joins us every Monday. And I did not think that we would be talking to Jeff Calkins about a coaching opening at the University of Memphis football program, but here we are. Jeff, would you like to offer your testimony for your blessing?
I was so impressed by the people who knew how to do a testimony. You know, in the Idlewild Presbyterian Church and other Presbyterian churches that I go to, you know, we sit down. We say prayers occasionally. We say prayers. We sing a hymn. We listen to the sermon.
Amen.
I've never actually offered a testimony like that. Like I've never. You know.
That's what drove me out of the Catholic Church. If I'm gonna be honest, damn hymns.
I love a hymn. But God, love a hymn. Amen. Christmas hymns too. I love hymns. Love hymns. And some of the Christmas hymns are the best. Joy to the world, O come all ye faithful. Oh, just tremendous stuff.
They didn't touch Brandon. Bumgarner was getting emotional. You could hear the.
I could hear it. It was a thing of beauty. I was stirred, is what I was.
Yeah.
I was stirred.
Good.
I was moved. Yeah.
Well, you got your wish. Ryan Silverfield is not the head coach at the University of Memphis. He took the job at Arkansas. And look, I mean, I don't really know if there's anything else to say about Ryan. The tenure. Was solid. It was not great. And, you know, we want great. We always want great in Memphis. And now the quest to find that is on. Are you open-minded? Like, does it have to be a sitting head coach to you? Or are you open to going the OC, hot OC route again? Like, do you have a preference this go around?
I've never believed that those things is the essence of it. Like it, I don't care if it's an offensive guy or a defensive guy. Like Nick Saban was a pretty good coach and he was a defensive guy, you know, and Steve Spurrier was a pretty good coach and he was an offensive guy. And some people are hired as sitting coaches and some people are hired as assistants. It's actually one reason.
Jim Harbaugh was a defensive guy.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh was a defensive guy, pretty damn good coach. You know, the truth of the matter is Dan Lanning, defensive guy.
Right.
I take him as a coach in a second.
You're right.
So,
you're right.
So I don't care about offensive guy, defensive guy, head coach, sitting head coach. I'm a little skeptical of head coaches who have been at bigger programs and have been fired and are stepping down. Like, not – I mean, they've done it before. I mean, here's the truth. Like, Hugh Freeze – he was ultimately, you know, shown the door at Ole Miss, and then he went to Liberty and won big. You know, so so it can work. But the truth is that I wonder about the fire of those guys. I wonder if they still have, you know, the energy and ambition that they had on the way up. Like, let's say Mike Norvell were available, right? I'd wonder if it would be as good the second time around. Like with Mike Norvell, does he still, now that he has this $40 million or $80 million, whatever the hell he's accumulated, whatever. So I'm a little, I'll make an exception. I'm a little skeptical of that sort of coach. But even then, it has worked before. And so, no. But I have a hard time. Like, I can go ahead and look at the resumes of these guys and be impressed by the resumes of whether it's Charles Huff or whether it's Jason Eck of New Mexico or Jerry Mack. I have a hard time just saying, you know, slamming the table and saying he's my guy. It's good radio, but without before I've ever met him, you know, like I didn't know Mike Norvell sounded great, but I didn't know him from anyone, you know, same thing with Justin Fuente. So I think it's critical, obviously, that they get it right. Huge hire, as Jason has said. I think it is certainly as big a hire has ever been made at the University of Memphis, given where they are right now. But I'm not going to like sit here and say I know who the best one will be, but I think it very well could be if it's Stein from Oregon, that would be great. I could be talked into that. I'm totally open-minded in sort of the type of coach it is, or at least they're you know where they are serving right now.
How about the American and the prove it ground it seems to be? I just think, too, that helps make the job even more attractive. You could say the same things about South Florida and Tulane, who are investing at a level that, you know, is right there with Memphis, or maybe in South Florida case a little bit higher. But I just think in terms of folks looking at this job and where it is now, even different from 2019, because you know the investment level, you know, you look at what it's got with the control of the newly renovated stadium. I'm thinking there's no cap. Maybe there is when it comes to Stein. If he can get the Kentucky job, well, that's a straight path. But it doesn't seem like there's any cap, Jeff, on candidates, because it feels like you have, as Walken called it, the best job in the G5, or certainly one of them.
I think when you can point to literally the last three guys, I mean, imagine you're offering someone a job and you say, you know, the last three people who took this job all made more than $40 million in their next job.
Exactly.
You know, like you can
say
that.
You're a gold mine. Right. For them.
They're all different guys, and they all took. And here's the other thing. It's actually in many ways a better job than the one that Ryan got, because a couple reasons. One is we know that in the world of NIL, that you actually now have more money than almost everybody you're competing against. That wasn't the NIL yep. world hadn't even started when Ryan began, right?
Yep.
Secondly, we know you have access to the playoff. And thirdly, you're not following Mike Norvell and the greatest tenure in history, right. You know, in football history. Ryan, you know, a little bit like Josh, had to follow the guy, right? I mean, at that point, Mike was the guy. Yep. Ryan won some games and lost some games and whatever. But it's not like, oh, my God, how am I ever going to follow Ryan Silverfield? You know, people are fundamentally thrilled that someone is going to be following Ryan Silverfield. So I think the sky's the limit. And the only reason that I have, I have certainly said and conceded that they could blow this, it's because they have, you know, like when they. And that's why when people do the whole, and I'm like you, Jason, I'm irritated by the watch what you wish for, right, you know, people. Yeah. But I always concede there is no guarantee, because you could fire Josh or escort Josh out there, encourage him to leave and hire a Tubby. You could get rid of Larry Finch and hire a Tick Price. Like those were places, those at both of those times. Yeah. Heck, you could get rid of Mike Norvell and hire Ryan Silverfield. Like they have, in fact, gotten it wrong, even when they had a lot to sell before. And so I think it just puts some pressure, huge opportunity. I mean, Ed Scott would never say this, But you have to believe he's thrilled, right? Because
yes.
he's got to sell tickets, among other things, right? Like, he's got to sell tickets to this new stadium.
Yep.
And so so that's all. I when those people come at me, as they have, I just say, sure, I concede. It is, you could look up in 2 years and the next coach has not done a good job, as good a job as Ryan Silverfield. That's very possible. But what we know is that at a critical time in history, what Ryan did was not good enough. And what Ryan did, I mean, just look at it. Like, you're trying to tell the world that you are the team that should be elevated out of the American. Mm-hmm. You're too good for the group of five. Well, how can you say that with a straight face when you're finishing sixth in the conference? And when you're consistently finishing third, fourth, seventh, eighth, whatever it is, you're like they've never finished in the top two. So at a critical time, he could not get that done. And I would wager that the next coach, whoever it is, over the next 6 years will be in a conference title game. I'd be stunned.
Better believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the names that have been thrown out there, Jerry Mack from Kennesaw State. Bruce Feldman had a piece up there today at The Athletic, mentions Tyson Helton, who's been here before. He mentions Charles Huff. Charles Huff would be my choice, Jeff, because he's 42. He's been in the SEC. He beat Notre Dame at Marshall. He took Southern Miss to a bowl game for the first time in 3 years. Like, I'm seeing the trajectory with Charles Huff, and I like it. I like exactly where that's going. So those all make sense to me. I don't know. So are you going to write a column?
I mean, campaigning for anybody? Who will you campaign for? But, I mean, the funny thing is that I said this on my show. The only people I've actually ever campaigned for as coaches, when Cal was available, you know, I campaigned for Cal. It seemed pretty obvious because the guy had literally done what he'd done at UMass. He was a dynamic personality. The program was in a rut. You know, I mean, you know, it seemed pretty obvious that and so as some would say, oh, he's not going to work here because the cultural fit, whatever. You know, I've campaigned for Bruce Pearl. But how can I campaign for Charles Huff when I literally wouldn't know him if he walked in my door? You know, like so I think he has a tremendous resume. I think Jason Eck has a tremendous resume.
Jason Eck goes
to New Mexico where they haven't even been to a bowl game. Like now we you know, if someone says, well, Ryan's good because he's 4-0 in bowl games, you're like, bowl games, get out of here. Right. But their New Mexico hasn't even been to a bowl game since 2016. And they win 9 games. They win 9 games. I mean, it's just, so he's done an unbelievable job.
I'm a little skeptical of the 1 year success guys. Right. Like, because anything can go right for a year.
Well, Jerry Mack is a 1 year success guy, although he was successful at North Carolina Central before then. But
right.
He's also
right. No, that's fair. That's fair.
He's a 1 year guy. The one thing that the advantage of getting a sitting, like, again, I don't really care about the sitting head coach thing. Mike Norvell wasn't. Justin Fuente wasn't. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. The one thing that the sitting head coaches have an advantage now is in the NIL era, they can sometimes bring the whole team with them. You know,
that is true. That is very true.
Can bring players.
That is very,
too.
Very true.
Yep.
But head coaches,
that
they're
is
like,
very true.
We're moving to Memphis, kids.
Honestly, that may be something that tips the scales, right? Like if Memphis is close, they like this city head coach, they like this offensive coordinator a lot, but one guy is bringing a roster and one guy isn't.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge thing.
Well, yeah, and I think, I mean, it's going to be you're in a new stadium next year. Next year, honestly, you don't have the favorable schedule in terms of playing all these tough games at home next year. You know, you play most of them on the road. You want to make a favorable first impression. So if someone can bring a team with them, that makes a huge difference. And that's one reason why, you know, coaches from bigger schools who've been fired who are stepping down and coordinators are less apt to bring a whole team with them the way that, you know, we see right now lots of it's sort of become a new model. You know, mm-hmm. it's what Cignetti did, obviously, in Indiana, for heaven's sake. So so it is another reason that works. But yeah, it's an exciting time. There's no question.
Yeah.
I don't think I had like seriously considered him until
until today, and maybe he never will be because of the buyout and everything else. I'm just curious, Jeff. Dan Mullen, if Memphis, hey, we've decided this is the most important hire we've ever got to make, and so maybe we do need to go spend more. And then with Dan Mullen, I guess you, John, talked about it. You'd have to, you know, $4 million on the buyout to UNLV and then pay him more than the $3.5 million he's making now. I'm just curious. If Dan Mullen, if you were willing to pay it, does he miss? Do you think Dan Mullen here is a success? Is it like a 100%, you know, rate that Dan Mullen succeeds here at Memphis if you were willing to pay to bring him in here?
Well, it's funny. It was when I was driving around listening to you guys that I heard about the $7 million buyout. And like you, there are a couple things there. One, that's how expensive it is. It's funny. I don't know what Ed Scott looks for in a coach. Like, this is a big moment for Ed Scott, right? He hasn't had this opportunity to do it.
Yep.
My instinct is that that's not, you know, that's not a way he would go, that he would want to discover his own guy, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
But I'm just projecting. I'm just imagining. I have nothing, you know, maybe he's been admiring Dan Mullen's work forever. And obviously Dan Mullen, what he did at Mississippi State was unbelievable.
Yep.
And then what he did at Florida certainly looks much better in retrospect. And so I think he's a very good coach. But it feels
we have our doubts.
Unlikely to me. The other name that has been on your show a lot that people have been suggesting is Hugh Freeze. And I know he would crawl over glass to get the job. Like, he would love to have the job, but again, doesn't feel like to me, like something that they would, that Ed would do. But I don't know that for certain. And any of these guys are worth talking to if they'll talk to you.
Agreed.
Well, let me ask you that. What about, and I don't know how much research you've done into him, but what about Coastal Carolina OC Smitty Werbin-Jaegerman Jensen?
I love the Jensen offense. You know, I call it the Jensen Jet. You know, that's what people call it, Jensen Jet. It's very high-flying, open, like you talk about. There's a lot of transparency in that program.
I know he's high on your list. I know he's really
big fan of Smitty. Smitty is the best.
I don't know. I always love the coaching carousel, throwing names at Jeff. Like, I mean, it might as well be Mahatma Gandhi. You know, I mean,
I find the exercise of when I'm digesting this stuff and reading about
There's that guy. He's nice. Yeah, I like him.
when people put together lists, I try to determine, are these lists put together because these are people who should be interested?
Right.
Or is it actually based on, hey, I know this person would be in, like, is it based on information or is it just rounding up the usual suspects, right? The people who, this seems like this would be logical. And almost all of these lists, at least at the threshold, these are names that feel logical to us. But was I think Mike Norvell actually was on a lot of lists early on in the Memphis, in that search. I don't think Fuente was on any lists. You know, I don't think people heard, you know, you obviously broke the news, John, that Fuente got the job, but he wasn't like on. And so, you know,
nobody knew who he was at all.
Right. So no one knew. So we have these lists. And they consist of OCs, the likely suspects, and then they consist of some head coaches who've been fired or whatever. And then there's a bunch of sitting head coaches. But I haven't gotten the sense that most of what I've read on this is based on anything other than, boy, this looks logical. And some of them are so logical that they seem absolutely irresistible. I mean, Jerry Mack went to Whitehaven, for God's sakes, right? So there's a guy.
A Memphis tie is not that important to me. It just seems like a guy like that would have more interest, you know, just naturally.
Well,
but
you know who there was great enthusiasm for? You know who there was incredible enthusiasm for? Larry Porter. Like, there was tremendous enthusiasm for Larry Porter.
He was the LSU. He was like the Rivals Recruiter of the Year.
Recruiter of the Year. He had local ties. Wow. With all respect, he was terrible. It's why I really am sort of, and we'll have the first press conference and we'll make a judgment on the first press conference and we'll see what, you know, who else was great at the first, you know, who was really knocked out of the park on the first press conference? Derek Dooley. at Tennessee. One of the best first press conferences I've ever seen. Now, on the other hand, you know who was really terrible at the first press conference and then was terrible? Tubby.
Tubby.
That was totally, when you went to that press conference, you were like, uh-oh.
I don't know how many people know this, but his name isn't Penny. It's Anthony.
The level of sort of shock and whatever, it was a little bit like seeing Biden at that debate. You know, like, holy crap. Holy crap.
I try not to incorporate politics into my show.
I know, but
you know, you've done that.
We can acknowledge it wasn't a terrific performance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Biden came out looking at the wrong, like he was turned backwards.
But it was sort of the same thing. I remember asking Tubby about who was the guard that, like, Memphis, Josh had committed.
Oh, I remember who you're talking about. I don't remember the kid's name. But he didn't call him.
No idea who the hell it was.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, I'm sure I'll call him. He sounds like a great player.
So I do think, like, and I don't think Ryan will succeed at Arkansas because I don't think anyone will succeed at Arkansas, right?
That's amazing recall by you, by the way. I'm going to find out who that. I think he ended up going to Cal.
Ryan's organized. He runs a, you know, he's organized. He's ambitious, and you know, you never know. Like, I do believe. I know they were protesting slightly, a few yesterday in Fayetteville. People always rally around their whoever the coach is. People talk themselves into it ultimately, and then reality unfolds the way reality unfolds.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm excited about this because I think it's I imagine if you work in the ticket office, your job just got a lot easier.
Charlie Moore was the kid.
Oh yeah.
That's
was a little five star.
That was sorry. I wanted to get it
good
right.
Good recall, Jeff.
Charlie Moore. What happened? Where'd he go?
He ended up
several places.
Yeah, he bounced around a lot. Yep. I think he actually followed Josh initially, and then he wound up at a bunch of other places, like Miami and a bunch of other places. So he bounced around. That's all right. But yes, Tubby never called him.
Tubby never called him.
So he started at Cal, then he transferred, set out. Then he went to Kansas. Then he went to DePaul. Then he finished his career at Miami in 21-22. Yeah. So, I'm sorry. What job is this again? Is it Memphis Grizzlies?
It was really.
I'm in the FedEx Forum.
And that's why it is, obviously. Of course, I'm with Jason. They have a lot to offer.
Yes,
this is a better job than they've ever been able to offer
100%.
Before. Yep. Right?
That's it.
And so they have a lot to offer. It doesn't mean, you know, that you can't screw it up. And it ultimately, you know, I think we'll find out some things about Ed here. You know, this is a massive opportunity for Ed to put his stamp on the program.
Yep, there is no question about that. Jeff, thanks so much for joining
Thank
us
you,
here on the show. Yep, it's Jeff Calkins, one of the best to ever do it. Hey, if you're looking to buy or sell a home, Live Love, the Live Love Group is the place to go because Jennifer and her team are going to absolutely help you get the most money for your home. They're going to help you go through the entire process, start to finish. You're going to feel like everybody's on the up and up. She's honest. Her team is straightforward. They're available, right? They're accessible. A lot of realtors out here in 2025, they're not as available. So if you want to make the most money for your home, get with the Live Love team. That's who Jason and John use when they are putting their homes on the market. Be like us. You'll also be happy. Reach out. Jennifer and her team, the Live Love Group. It's sold at Live Love.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Memphis.com. The Black Friday sale still going on for one more day at RIJ. Major diamond sale, engagement rings, anniversary bands, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, everything is 30 to 50% off. And look, the holidays are here. You're going to spend money. Might as well save while you're doing it and get yourself some gifts. So the way it works is, well, that was through Saturday, but I'm telling you this, major diamond sale still going on with all those engagement rings, anniversary bands, everything 30 to 50% off. Financing options are available. Get over to see Howie at RIJ.
Yeah, it's a real smart way because you're going to have to buy probably something for the significant other anyway. And when you buy it, it's $2,499 or more. You're going to get those gifts that you can then give to others as Christmas gifts. It's a little slick, little perk when you're shopping with Howie. And it's going to be the best jewelry shopping experience of your life. That's what we always tell you because it's always true. You're going to leave smiling knowing that you didn't break the bank to do it. That's where wish I could rewind the years back and go buy Faith's engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. There's been a lot more peace in my life if I had done it. Don't be a fool like me and go buy all this stuff from a big box store. Not take advantage. Bigger, brighter diamonds always at Robert Irwin Jewelers, along with better prices. Five locations, three here locally or online, always at rijewelers.com.
Jeff made a really good point, I thought, about the difference in this time. You know, hiring a sitting head coach versus taking a chance on a coordinator. It's imperative to be good early on, right? Like, I'm not saying that the first year has to be, you know, absolutely go to the American Championship game or else, but I think the carrot of being able to say, hey, I'm going to bring my best players from X, Y, and Z 100%. Along with me is a massive advantage. That didn't exist.
That's why I wondered with Dan, if he'd bring something with him, maybe you're paying for something, you know, I don't know how much he's got at UNLV that you'd want, but my point would be,
he's got enough.
Yeah, to be in the championship game, sounds like. So my point would be, are you buying and bringing that with him? But no, I think it's a great point. Who are you bringing with? That makes you more attractive to me as a candidate and maybe as a head coach. Yes, you're bringing more than one of these coordinators were, to your point. I just want to make the Memphis, whether it's the AD job or the football coaching job. Guys, remember, Laird Veach didn't do much, okay? He was able to flip it. I mean, he hired Ryan Silverfield. He's able to flip this. And listen, getting the stadium renovated, all that, we know he had a hand in that before he got out of here. So I don't want to just dismiss his record here in Memphis, but my point is he did an okay job as the AD here. And what did it turn into? An SEC AD job. It's the same thing for Ed Scott. It's the same thing for the football coach. This is a place of opportunity.
Yep.
And I just think, again, the college athletics industry is looking at Memphis as that now. So I think sky's the limit on this hire, man.
Yep.
You're going to hire somebody good because you're going to have a ton of good candidates. It's going to have you in a conference championship. It's going to have you maybe playing for, you know, in the college football playoff. It's going to be a great thing.
Absolutely right.
Wonderful.
Fun times ahead, it seems like.
It feels like it.
For the University of Memphis. Going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Coggins for joining us on the show. Jeffrey Wright and company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.